section. We're on Sunday night, and again, hey, the rain came to Illinois, and now we got a little bit of sun peeking through, so our temperatures have dropped here. Very, very nice. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do a little bit of American history, a little bit of the future. What we're going to discuss here in Rantoul, Illinois, we had Chanute Air Force Base, which was here for many years, and then once it closed, the commanding general there that we had a lot of stuff involved with, and he was my CO in Vietnam very many years ago, 40 years ago, Major General Frank Elliott, came up with the idea, a whole bunch of other individuals, to form the Chanute Air Museum. And the other stuff along with the Chanute Air Museum, obviously because of all the thousands and thousands and thousands of individuals that got their training at Chanute Air Force Base beginning in 1917 up into the 1990s, past Desert Storm, they want to have a memorial built there. So today we're going to talk about all this, and let's start off with a little bit of history of Chanute and Chanute Air Museum. Nancy Coble, I'd like to introduce Nancy. Nancy, are you with us tonight?
I am with you, Doug.
Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you.
I'm glad to have you. And Jim, are you also online?
You betcha, Dr. Doug.
Fantastic. Wow, this is really a treat. These people are incredible individuals. Nancy, why don't you give a little bit of history of Chanute Air Force Base and the Chanute Air Museum, how it got started, where it's from, and what it's about, please.
Okay, well, the museum has been in existence, I think about 17 or 18 years. It came out of the base closure, and at that time, we had a small group of individuals who wanted to preserve that history of Chanute. So things that were left behind became artifacts for the museum to be on display. Not only do we have the history of the Air Force Base itself, but we have a lot of local history. Rantoul itself played a big part in Central Illinois history with railroad and some of the first settlers, so the Rantoul Historical Society is housed in our museum. But we have planes, we have fire trucks, we have Timeline, which we are actually redoing that exhibit, the 99th Pursuit Squadron, which it was the mechanics that trained for the Tuskegee Airmen, started right here in the heart of Central Illinois at Chanute. We have a Barnstormers exhibit. We have POW exhibits and much, much more. We are in a rebuilding mode at this time, and so, as I mentioned, we're working on redoing some of our exhibits and setting up plans for new exhibits and expansion as soon as we get that kind of funding.
Well, that's going to be incredible. I know, as one of the docents for your museum, I've been involved in giving tours for many years now. But one of the things that everybody is so astonished with when they first come into the museum obviously in Chanute Air Force Base was named after Octa Chanute, who was a great inventor and one of the pioneers in aircraft and everything else, and had, what, an incredible, incredible impact on the Wright brothers, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And you're absolutely right. Octave Chanute was not just an aviator. He was an inventor of many things, mechanical, and did inspire the Wright brothers. One of our first exhibits as you come into the museum talks about Octave Chanute and right into the Wright brothers and the history of flight.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back all the way. I mean, that exhibit, which was part of Taylor Studios that built for the museum, goes all the way back to Arcarius, and then it comes through the blimps, and people don't know what Leonardo actually developed and designed an airplane that would fly. And I think
yes.
That's, isn't that true?
Yes, absolutely. That exhibit also incorporates the Montgolfier brothers, hot air ballooning, and the Chinese gentleman who thought he could fly by putting rockets on his chair.
Wow. It's an incredible, incredible thing. I know as you come through the museum, then as you get in, then obviously you've talked about the timeline. In the first photograph I remember was the Army captain, because remember, back in 1917, the Air Force was the Army Air Corps. that had flown the first, Jenny into the Chanute Air Force Base? This was, in early 1917?
Absolutely, yes. And speaking of that particular type of aircraft, brings to mind, in that timeline, there's a picture of a young lady of, and we don't normally think this far back in the early history of aviation, who was a wing walker and lived right here in Villa Grove, Illinois, which is just down the road.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally astonishing, because when we think of Lorfina Bennett, and then, I mean, her great-nephew is our education director at the museum. So that link is just solid there through everything.
Absolutely.
I think, when people come into the museum, one of the most astonishing things is, and I know as people, I've been there many, many years and taken tours in there, one of the first exhibits they walk in there is, how did you live in the barracks? So you have a cross section where you took a room out of a barracks and built a massive exhibit there with the old double bunk bags and the old, double bunk beds and the wool blankets and the foot lockers and everything else. I think people just are astonished with that, aren't they?
Yes, and once you go through and look at a barracks room, we also have a mock-up of life in general in the military, particularly at Chanute. There's a mess hall. There's an exhibit that displays the old communications where telephones had an operator and they would plug in a cord from one place to another. We also have some artifacts that came out of the chapel that was originally on the Air Force Base. And there is a display there that has a dental chair and some of the medical instruments from the early days of the hospital that was on Chanute.
Now, Jim, in the Rancho Historical portion of the museum, don't you have a lot of old telephones also and artifacts that were associated with the base or the community in this area?
That's correct, Doug. We have probably in excess of 35 different styles and types of phone that was used up through the history of the telephone company, which changed hands about three or four different times. It was the same owner, Glenn Hansen, but it changed from Midwest Continent to Bell to I don't know how many other different companies. But we have representations of all the old crank-style phones and battery-operated phones, the dial rotary-type phones, and right up to the 1965, really, really modern phones.
Probably one of those phones that you have in your exhibit might have actually been hooked up to that original switchboard that's in the other exhibit. Isn't that possible?
That is correct. Everything that we have in the Rantoul Historic Society hallway was either used or owned by people here in Rantoul, so very likely those phones had come out of either private homes or businesses downtown, or possibly even buildings on base during that period of time.
That's pretty, pretty neat. I know, with everything associated with the military, my kids grew up here and so many others have grown up here and everything else, and so whether you were in the military or you were a civilian or connected anything, one thing that was really important for all of us, and I know when my kids were small, is the horse and that beautiful golden Palomino horse where you put your dime in and rode. That sits in the exhibit, doesn't it, the entrance to the Rantoul Historical Area, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. The short history on that horse is I'm 63 years old, and when I was 5 years old, I rode that horse. I was probably one of many children that rode it the first year it was in our five and dime downtown. I would hate to guess how many different children have ridden that thing up until the Ben Waters five and dime store closed. And it's still on display there. We allow children to set up on it. It is a functional display, but we do not have it plugged in for mechanical reasons. We don't want to ruin the pumps that are underneath there because they haven't been used for a while, and I don't know that anybody could ever repair it. But we do allow photo ops, and just about all the children that come into the hallway like to sit up there and have their picture taken.
Well, I know three generations of my family have not been on that horse, so I think it's an important part of American life. Now, another thing, too, and I know when we're coming down the timeline exhibit as we get in there, was a really neat display. the longest parachute ride was ever done was over Chanute. And I think what, Nancy, do you know much about that?
You know, I know that is a part of the timeline, and I have studied that, but I can't give you a specific on that right now. I'll tell you, that timeline is so jam-packed. I mean, we're talking about from 1917 through 1993, and so much happened at Chanute. It was a technical training center for the Air Force, but we also housed men and women from other branches of the service. And so, I mean, you know, we had the weather school, we had the mechanics school, we had the grounding equipment school. There was also, I believe, the fire school was there, paratroopers. So much happened at Chanute. It was one of the most premier or the premier technical training center for the Air Force.
That's so important. I know one thing, there's a photograph about just as you get in there in the early days of Chanute into the 20s, I know, in the original timeline, and then also back there when you get into the Barnstormers exhibit, there are two photographs of the Lone Eagle himself, Charles Lindbergh.
Mm-hmm.
What was Charles Lindbergh's relationship to Chanute Air Force Base in Rantoul?
I am thinking that he actually flew through here. Jim, do you know what that connection is?
No, I do not. Most of my forte is with the actual Rantoul history. The Chanute part of the history I haven't delved into too awfully much.
Yeah, it seems that, you know, back at the time that, you know, when he got his pilot license, he was actually did some training at Chanute. So
well,
this was back in the early 1920s.
He was here, but I don't remember if it was for training or if he was passing through and he stopped here.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, that whole timeline exhibit, I mean, you have presidents of the United States, you have generals, you have dignitaries, you have sports figures. They're all photographed, and their history is up on that timeline, isn't it?
That is absolutely correct, and you will also see in that timeline where Chanute had a baseball team, and they actually played, I can't remember if they played against the Chicago Cubs or if they played at Wrigley Field, but I'm pretty sure it was they played against the Chicago Cubs at one time. So there's something there for the sports fans.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of everything. I mean, with Jim, with Rantoul, I mean, the community, a lot of military installations around the world and everything else, they'll have the installation military base, and then right off of the base you have all of the bars and all of the other things associated with it. We didn't see that here at Chanute Air Force Base, did we? We saw the direct transition from the base into the community. Isn't that what made this base so great?
That's correct. This community was as much a part of the base as the base was of the community, and we kind of grew together. And as we grew together, we understood and went to church together and had festivals together. And I think the decision was made not to be a typical military installation, small town, where you could come out and get your tattoos and go to your local gin mills and that sort of thing. Because of the background and history of this part of the Midwest and the different 16 religions that were and still are in place around here, it was nice to have a more wholesome atmosphere than what you find outside of a lot of entries to some of the military installations. And that's not so much today around the country as it used to be. I think more and more people are seeing that those things are not necessarily what you need to associate to our military.
Now, you're a Vietnam vet, aren't you, Jim?
Yes, I am. I was in Vietnam in 1970-71. I was up on the Cambodian border area in 3 Corps around the Parrot's Peak for the folks that might know that, with Big Red One and the First Air Cav area up there.
So you yourself, not only have you, you know, I mean, you devoted your early days in the military coming out of school and then, you know, going in the military back in the 60s and the early 70s, but then you've been involved with the museum, I know, from pretty much from day one as, you know, head of the Rantoul Historical Foundation. Your big project right now, and this is one of the main reasons we want to focus on this on the radio show, is you want a memorial built, don't you? We're the group to build a memorial to everybody that's come through Chanute.
Doug, like yourself, I wear many hats, and the one hat I'm most proud to put on is the one to be the chairperson for the Rantoul Veterans Memorial drive that we're doing here. Being a veteran, when I first came out of the service for probably 6 or 7 years, I thought about why Rantoul didn't have a memorial, and so I started kind of planning on my own and writing things down and drawing concepts, and I put that away for probably 5 years, and I pulled it out again one day, and I was reading through it, and it still sounded like a good idea, so I made some improvements, and once again, I laid it aside. We had a gentleman who was an Iraqi vet who lost his eyesight because of a roadside bomb, who was related to people who live here in town, and he was here visiting, and they did a newspaper article on him, and I was quite inspired by what had happened to him and how he was recovering and his attitude towards his new life of darkness. And so I dug this stuff out, and I took a look at it, and I thought, well, maybe it's now a good time to bring this out. So we held a news conference and stated what we wanted to do and what we proposed to do as far as fundraising and what it was going to look like. And we put together a committee, and we've worked with it for the past year trying to refine and do some fundraising. As a matter of fact, this Saturday, July 14th, from 1 to 4:30, on the Chanute Air Force Base Parade Ground, what used to be the parade ground, we're going to have an all-day event with flag raising and speakers and a Civil War to Iraq timeline with the different uniforms and equipment they used. And this is free to the public, and we hope that everybody that wants to come does come, because we're looking to make this the kickoff and official start for our fundraising for the memorial.
Wow, that sounds interesting. Could you describe a little bit of the concept of the memorial, what you'd like to do and where it would be located, please?
Okay. For most people who have not been here, the military base main entrance was right on our main street, which is Century Boulevard. And, of course, the fences and everything are long gone. But as you would travel south down Century Boulevard and go what used to be through the main gate, you go about one block, and to your left there's a big parade ground where they held all kinds of ceremonies for dignitaries and military people coming and going. And at the north end of that parade ground, there was a double tennis court, which the blacktop is still there, and, of course, all the fence and the nets and everything are gone. And I looked around and thought that this might be symbolic ground to put this on, since the military had used that parade ground so much through the history of Chanute that maybe the memorial would be best suited there. And I contacted the city, and they approved the use of the land for that. So our committee started to develop what the memorial might look like. And we're not going to have a ground-level memorial like a lot of small towns do, where you just walk up a sidewalk and there's your memorial headstones and your flag. So ours is actually going to be more of a elevated type of memorial that you might find in the larger city or even in the Washington, D.C. area. It is a complex memorial. It's going to have the five headstones, which signify the five services. It is going to be honoring all the services and sacrifices that the veterans made, not just the combat veterans, but all veterans, all services. We have the three flags, of course, will be with the memorial stones, the American flag and the POW in the state flag. But what makes ours a little unique is the actual concept looks almost like a flying wing, which would be somewhat symbolic of the Air Force. And the ground zero, or the very center of it, I call, we're going to have a 10-foot monolith, which is going to have the engravings of honor, duty, country, and service on those. And once it's completed, we're going to turn it back over to the city, and they're going to maintain and do the landscaping and any maintenance that's going to be needed in the future. So we do have a program where you can buy a brick for $150. You can honor yourself or a veteran in your family or a veteran friend. You have 36 characters on there that you can have. You pay us $150, and all this can be downloaded, all the information, the concept, the to make a cash donation, what the planned memorial is going to look like, the buy a brick, and all that can be found under www.rvmrantoul.org.
Okay, let's give that again. The website is www.rvmrantoul.org. So we're talking about Rantoul Veterans Memorial, rantoul.org.
Right, and I want to be specific, Doug, if I might, about this. This is for all veterans, all services, no matter if you live in Rantoul, no matter if you live in Hawaii, any service that you was in, any job that you did, this is to honor every person that wore our country's uniforms. This is not a war memorial. This is a veterans memorial.
That's really important. So we're looking at, Nancy, do you have any idea at all how many thousands or hundreds of thousands of military servicemen and families came through Chanute?
You know, I have seen that number, and I was blown away by it. Because when you look at the time frame that Chanute was here, basically from 1917 to 1993, when you think of that number of years and all the people that came through here, I would say definitely in the hundreds of thousands, maybe even more.
That's quite a thing. Now, we also, in addition to training all the Air Force, and again, I know for the weather school, that was all services, and for the fire school, it was all services. You had all the Air Force mechanics that took care of all the aircraft and everything else. But didn't they also do foreign military training here? So our all of our allies and individuals are coordinated with the U.S. military. Didn't they get to come through schools here too?
They did. They did. I'm looking at some information here to back up. Here's an example. During World War II, the mess halls on Chanute served 75,000 meals per day.
75,000 meals per day?
So that would be probably three meals a day. So at that time, there were over 25,000 people at Chanute.
Wow. And so, I mean, we started with the early days in 1917 where they did actual pilot training here, teaching them by the Flint Jennies and all those original aircraft up to the present time. So I think, what, flight operations, when did flight operations stop here? Sometime in the early 70s, middle 70s?
Yes.
Yeah, I know, because I think one of the most astonishing things, and this is for my own personal thing, and all of us have climbed in and out of this, we actually had the B-52s in here, and we do today have a nose section of B-52 on display in the exhibit in our museum, just a nose section that had flown many combat missions out of Utapau Air Force Base in Thailand under Major General Frank Elliott. He was the commanding general of that wing, which was so neat, and we were allowed to have that. So we've got a B-52. I know what we got, a B-20. We got a B-25 that's being restored right now.
Right.
And that was associated with training the Tuskegee Airmen.
That is correct.
Wow, that's a lot of history. And I think there's also what you've got in there, and you've got everything. Well, I think it's really neat because you can come in there, and we've got an actual flyable working exhibit of the Wright Brothers' original flyer. that's sitting there that was built, again, for the museum with the university. And then hanging above there is a model of Octave Chanute's glider from which all this is based on, isn't it?
That is correct. Along with those, I didn't mention these earlier, the Minuteman missiles training took place on Chanute. We have, now this training didn't take place at Chanute, but Frasca Aviation. Frasca is well known in the international community for their flight trainers. We have an exhibit that Frasca Aviation has put together up there. And just recently, we put I believe it's a DC-9 or 10 engine on display for people to see the new exhibit. I know we've got hot moon stuff up there. So everything that's flight-related or related to it, whether it's, you know, working on aircraft, working on engines, the equipment that we use to work on those aircraft, everything's there.
Well, I think the important thing, too, is, I mean, we've got all this incredible stuff associated with airplanes and flight and everything else and fire and missiles. But, Jim, in your exhibit, so, I mean, if people want to come here and visit, and I mean, this is definitely a destination go-to exhibit where you can spend hours and hours there at this whole museum and spend everything. But not just for, say, for example, you got the rough, tough guy, the John Wayne, the Rambo guy. But in your exhibit, if they're interested, aren't there a lot of old dresses and all toys and everything else associated with the Rantoul area, isn't there?
Yeah, Doug, we have quite an extensive display. Our hallway is, like you said, we occupy one hallway in the Air Museum. It's a 160-foot hallway, and it's 20 foot across. We have four side rooms. The first room is the early years room, and that has the Victorian setting and the railroad history, which this town was founded and grew based on the railroad coming through here. The next room we have is the school days, which gives you the history of all of our schools, grade schools. We have five grade schools and a high school and a junior high school here. And the reason for a small community having that many schools is obviously because of the military presence at that time. The populations of the school, we graduated some of the largest classes. As a matter of fact, my graduating class of 1967 was the largest ever until 2 years later, and they broke it by about 10 students.
Didn't you just have a high school reunion?
We did. We had our 45th high school reunion last Friday and Saturday, and I believe I seen you and your lovely wife there.
Yeah, my wife graduated in 68, so you know, it was kind of hard not to miss that party. There were a lot of people I know from came in from all over North America to go to that, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Pretty astonishing.
To continue on, the third room we have there is our World War II room, which honors our veterans. Rantoul had a very high contingency for a small population of men that went off to war during World War II. There was approximately 275 or 76, and for a small community, that's a lot of men to have out at one time. The fourth room was the Rantoul room, and that is the room you would go into to view all the different businesses and the prominent people that served Rantoul through the years. And then our hallway has a more of a rustic look. We have an antique doll display. We have toys that children used to use here in this area. We have fur coats and hats, and we build a display that looks like the storefront of a store from the turn of the century, which has all types of men and women's clothing on the mannequins there. So we have quite a display of Rantoul's history and the related artifacts. It's well worth the admission to come to the museum, and when you pay the admission to see Nancy's side of it, you're also getting the Rantoul history in that same fee.
Wow, so you got artifacts in your portion going back from the Civil War to the present. Nancy has got the history of Chanute Air Force Base and basically the history of flight in our country on display there. I think, Nancy, one of the other neat things, too, I know when I've done docents and having people come through, this is one of the only museums in the world where you can actually walk into a nuclear missile silo, isn't it?
That is correct. a lot of the training for those missiles happened right here. In fact, as you go through the museum, you will see paintings on the wall of old missile silos around the United States and where those were located. Many of those, of course, are no longer functional, but back during that time period, I would say probably the 50s, 60s, on into the 70s, they were housed on other military institutions, and as part of that training school that was here, they painted those on the wall. In fact, Grissom Hall, where the museum is located, those are our original paintings. We didn't reproduce them. They were there when we took over the museum. One of the things that I wanted to mention, when Jim was talking about the Historical Society, so often we get people through the museum who, many of them were stationed or part of the military, did service, but their spouses weren't, and they're like, oh, I'm not sure, I wanted to wander around and look at airplanes and military artifacts, and then they find out the Historical Society is back there, and they love it. So it's a boost for both of us. It's the best of all worlds. Those people who are interested in military and aviation, there's something for them, and then the Historical Society has a different kind of history that people just love to go back there and look at.
Well, I think there are two really major and important exhibits in the museum that I think we need to mention. Right now, you have on loan some original Air Force art, don't you, from the U.S. Air Force, on loan to the museum for a whole room on that, don't we?
We do have that, and there are some interesting pictures in there. A lot of them are important military figures or people who played an important role in history of the military. And then we have, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there's one of a space shuttle that's in there. And I think there's a couple of aircraft. Now, these are, some of this artwork is photographed, but most of it is paintings or prints of important historical military events. And yet, those are on loan from the federal government.
And I think one of those is obviously the museum, the building is named after the great astronaut Gus Grissom, who's one of the originals. And isn't there his painting is in there?
It is. Yep.
That's pretty important. And then the other thing, too, and you've already mentioned this, and again, there's stuff available, and we need to come on this. You have a website for the Air Museum where people can look at this, don't they?
We do. It is www.aeromuseum.org.
Okay, we want to repeat that. www.aero, that's A-E-R-O, museum.org.
That is correct.
So it's a very, very important website. Whether you were in the military, you want any history about the military or your schnoot or anything. So, I mean, a lot of stuff up there and a lot of stuff you can get access to. Now, you had mentioned when we began, and for those of us here, that the 99th Pursuit Squad and Tuskegee Airmen, the maintenance group and all that, was formed here at Chanute and right at the beginning of World War II, wasn't it?
It was. Pilots were trained down in Tuskegee, Alabama. However, the mechanics were trained right here at Chanute. And that was, of course, the first all-black squadron. And it was back in March of 1941. And there were over 250 men who were trained right here at Chanute in the ground support trades.
And there's a major exhibit where, as you come up to this, to enter in the 99th Pursuit Squadron, isn't there a gigantic mural that was hand-painted there showing the pilots, you know, one of the aircraft as you come into the exhibit? And then again,
go ahead.
Could you describe the exhibit, please?
Yes, I was going to say it's a very nice exhibit. It talks about the history. There is also a videotape in there. There is the mural painting. In fact, they've even painted the ceiling that represents the sky with clouds in it. And there's a number of pictures that were taken here when the squadron originally started. And it's a book in there that also is on display that people can look at that tells the history of the Tuskegee Airmen here at, or well, I should say 99th Pursuit Squadron here at Chanute.
That's one thing I know. One of the things that astonished me is I've read about this and we've watched the, you know, the movies that they put on TV, and they had the PBS. Several years ago, if I remember, we actually had the surviving Tuskegee Airmen were here for a major event at Chanute Air Force Base.
That is correct. And along with coming here for the museum, the Lincoln's Challenge folks, who are our neighbor in the building, teach part of that to the students as part of their curriculum. So it's a very important role in how you know, this Pursuit Squadron was the first of its kind and the challenges that they faced and had to overcome when we talk about racial issues.
Yeah, one of the things as a teacher, one of the things that astonished me, and I know this is a major part of the exhibit, the Tuskegee Airmen, the maintenance guys, when they went through the technical training here at Chanute Air Force Base, were absolutely brilliant. And I think in the exhibit they talk about that the overall class average for the students of the Tuskegee Airmen, the maintenance guy, is the greatest ever seen in the Air Force and has never been matched yet.
That is correct, yes.
I mean, you think about this. These people are overcoming incredible prejudice, incredible problems, to go way up and beyond, and they became legendary before they left here, and then after their lives, after the military and after World War II, didn't they become legendary all over the nation?
They did, and you know, you talk about the average grade score there, you know, and think about, we're talking about 1941, you know, a lot of African Americans didn't have opportunities to go the school beyond high school at that point. So when you talk about how smart they were and how they overcame those challenges at the same time, that is extremely incredible.
Now, along with that, and I believe it's a coordinated effort that the museum has done with Parkland College or the university, they have the incredible archives of the photographs of the Tuskegee Airmen. Isn't that available where people can link on through the website to do some studying on that?
I'm not sure if we're linked up on the website or not, but we do have that available. It may be under our articles. We've been revamping our website, and we've had a lot of changes, so we have taken a few things down while we're figuring out what we need to do to make this a little more user-friendly, and it's coming along, so it'll be back up and running. But you can always contact the museum. The museum has an extraordinary library that we use for research, and people can come and if they request in advance with our curator, he can help them find information in our library, so we're always happy to do that. Now, we can't look up if somebody comes in and says, hey, my grandfather, my father was stationed here in such and such a year. We can't look that up, but if they want information about aircraft, history of the military, that kind of thing, we're always happy to help have them go through our library and find the information that they need.
The library we have there is an incredible archive that a lot of research could be done there.
You know, you talked about some of these movies that have been made. We have had some of the military movies of people who are in the process of producing those, you know, come to us and ask for information out of our archives, particularly those movies about the Tuskegee Airmen. So, it's an extensive library, and it's well used.
Do you have any idea about how many aircraft are on display there at Chanute Air Museum?
We have approximately 40 aircraft, and that includes a missile that's out where the old West Gate used to be.
Yeah, when you first come in, there's a missile standing tall right in the middle of the roadway. That's pretty neat. Now, we do have what they call the Connie. It's fully refurbished. It was early warning radar and radio stuff that the U.S. Navy flew on our coast for defense of our nation.
That is correct. That one is, I believe, sitting outside. We have some aircraft inside of the museum hangar, and then we have aircraft outside in our small air park, and people, of course, are welcome to go out there and wander around and look at those aircraft. We currently don't have any aircraft that you can go inside, but you can certainly walk up, take a look at it. We have a couple of aircraft where you can walk up some steps onto a platform and look into the cockpit of the airplane. And there are articles posted for each aircraft that tells you a little bit about that aircraft and what it did.
This is an incredible resource. It's not only a resource for Rantoul and Champaign County, Illinois, but this museum, when we look at both the Rantoul Historical Society portion and the Chanute Air Museum, this is a national resource, isn't it?
It is, and, you know, you just, as a resource, it's about preserving history because, you know, history tells us that we prepare for the future based on our past. And when you look at history as a whole, instead of, oh, this is aviation history, this is military history, it's history in all sense of the word. And as future generations come along and they want to know, well, where did this come from? How did this start? What do I know about this? We preserve that. We preserve the history for the future.
Now, the museum has not only has had very active programs, not only where you can come in there, but then we've had the various camps and all this stuff for the children to come and learn over the years also, haven't we?
We do. We've had aviation camp. This is the first summer that we haven't had an aviation camp due to our education director stepping down. He'd been there for a very long time, was a wonderful person, but he needed to step down to pursue other personal interests. So we certainly miss Jim, but we did not have that aviation camp this year. We have had what's called Women in Wings, which was a wonderful event. Tammy Duckworth was here last year and was our keynote speaker, and that's about women in aviation. And we had a panel of women who fielded questions about how do we get our young women interested in aviation and in flying in general.
Tammy Duckworth, I mean, she was a pilot over in Iraq in the current Iraqi war, and didn't she lose both legs when she was shot down?
She was a helicopter pilot, that is correct. And now she works with Veterans Affairs, and she is an awesome and amazing person, and I think we're very fortunate to have had her be a part of our event.
You've had a lot of great speakers. Isn't there a big event coming up for Chanute Air Museum and Rantoul and part of the memorial coming up here at the end of July, isn't there?
There is. The B-17 Texas Raiders will be here. The Flying Fortress, and they're coming in on July 27th, and they will be here through the 31st of July. Their plane will be on exhibit, but they will also be giving rides. The cost of a ride is $425, and the museum has actually got a raffle going on right now.
Really? A raffle for a B-17 ride?
For a ride in the B-17, yes.
For
$10. You can buy a ticket for $10, and you could be the winner of a ride in the B-17 for $10.
That would be a lifetime. I mean, that's one of those things that you would, beyond comprehension, to do once in your life.
Absolutely. Those tickets are available at the museum. If somebody's interested, they can just call up there or stop in. And you have to have your ticket purchased by July 25th so that they can make arrangements to get your ride on your schedule and theirs. But, yeah, for $10, that's a heck of a deal. The admission price of the museum gets you out to take a look at the plane from the outside, And the the B-17 crew will also do walkthroughs, and they charge $5 for an adult, $3 for a child under 12. But that's, pretty cheap to get to go through a historical aircraft.
Do you happen to, we've got the website, www.aeromuseum.org. Do you have a phone number for the museum?
Sure do. People can call 217-893-1613. And if they're interested in a raffle ticket, it's extension 20.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, again, to find out more about Chanute Air Museum or buy a raffle ticket for a possible B-17 ride, if you live anywhere within 500 miles of Chanute or even farther and you were to win this, I mean, this is worth it. Wow, what an experience. The phone number is area code 217-893-1613, and again, www.aeromuseum.org. I mean, Jim, with all these events and everything happening, your whole idea for a veterans memorial seems tied to not only the history of this area, but the history of the U.S. Air Force, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Coast Guard, and students of other foreign military. So this memorial is important not only for our local area, but it seems like you've branched out to the entire world for this memorial.
That was the idea, Doug. We had given some serious thought to, and some of the guys, we have a high contingency of Vietnam veterans, my age group, your age group, in this immediate area, and when they first heard about the memorial proposal, they thought, hey, this is great. When are we going to start the Vietnam War Memorial? And I explained to them that it was not for just a Vietnam veteran, and that was not a war memorial. It was a veterans memorial. And we decided it was fitting that regardless of what you did in the service, the fact that you gave up your time and made the sacrifice to your country to wear a uniform of any branch, we wanted to symbolize the importance of that. In our today's society, unfortunately, we have a waning number of people that choose to go into the military and some that don't support the military to the point that we feel they should. Patriotism is still there. It's deep-rooted. It will never be gone, but it is a bit diluted. So just to stand up and wave your flag on the 4th of July and say, I support the veterans, does not quite emphasize what we're trying to do. We're trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, this is for you if you're a veteran. This is for all the veterans. We truly and dearly from the heart want to say thank you for your service then, now, and in the future.
So again, for the memorial, the website is www.rvm, that's Rantoul Veterans Memorial, Rantoul, R-A-N-T-O-U-L, .org.
That's correct.
Is there any phone number people could use if they don't have access to a computer?
I do everything through my cell phone or my home phone, and I'd be happy to give you both. My cell phone number is area 217-714-1352.
Okay, area code 217-714-1352.
That's correct.
Great. Thank you very much. You know, again, Denise, are you here by chance? Okay, I didn't know what though we were going to do. We had another Air Force vet that might have come on to help us in a little on. Maybe she'll be in it shortly. But, I mean, this all is tied together. So we have Chanute Air Force Base, the history of Chanute, all the training that was done from 1917 through 1993, an incredible museum where people come see the aircraft. They can see artifacts. We have an incredible research library right there. And then the Rantoul Historical Society, which has just a whole bunch of history. And Rantoul is from what, right around the Civil War, before the Civil War?
Actually, it was right before the Civil War. We had, when it was just the open Great Plains, Midwest Plains and all, we had the Indian tribes that frequented through this area. And then eventually we had a couple farmers that ventured into this area. And the area was basically swampy, type of unfarmable land at the time, and they decided to stay pursue this as a place to live. And when the railroad chartered and came through this area, and then, of course, the railroad brought people from the larger metropolitan areas out into the open plains, and we just kept growing, and the railroad kept moving. And so, yeah, we were out here during the days of the Indians, and Rantoul itself has, in our genealogy section and in our archives, we have a Civil War section, and we have a Civil War display. It shows the weapons that were used and cannonballs and things like that in one of our display cases down the hallway. So we have an extensive history starting back in the days of the Indians. We weren't chartered until the mid-1800s as an actual town, but there was quite a few people living here up till that time, and then once they chartered and the railroad came through, then it just kind of exploded.
Yeah. I think, Nancy, one of the other important portions, and I've got a copy right in front of me, is the chief historian for Chanute Air Force Base, and now retired Chief Master Sergeant Donald Weckhorst. He wrote a whole book on the history of Chanute, didn't he?
He did, and we do have copies of that at the museum that people can purchase. It's an extremely interesting book, and it has a lot of good information in it.
Yeah, I'm sitting here. I think there are two. I got the original edition I got from him when I was involved in it, and then there's a new edition that came out. But
right.
This is not a small book. This is a very large book with photographs and firsthand experience and firsthand discussion about everything else that was involved.
Absolutely, yeah. It's not just a small paperback read over an hour kind of thing. This would take you days to read.
Yeah, it's something. One of the things that, for those people that come through Chanute, obviously at any military, one thing was very, very, very important is they had all the parades and everything. And obviously this gym where you want to build your memorial is on the north end of the parade field. And one of the legends of Chanute Air Force Base, I don't know, Jim, Nancy, if you know very much about this, was called the Trailing Road Guard. Have either one of you studied or know much about that or how it all started? And because it became a legendary thing here and very, very important part of Chanute Air Force Base history.
Well, I was born and raised here in town. I've lived here all my life and was only gone during the time I was in the military. I do recall hearing about that, but I unfortunately do not and have not researched it. I am pretty much, like I said earlier, if you want to talk about Rantoul's history, and that's more my forte, the military had been here when I was born, and it was here clear up until 93. So my entire life just about was with the presence of the military out here. But I can't add any light to that because I certainly do not know.
Yeah. Nancy, how did you get involved in the museum and everything?
Well, I have been exposed to Chanute most of my life. My father was trained as an aircraft mechanic, so he trained at Chanute, and then he became a civilian employee in the aerospace ground equipment as an instructor. So I was not raised in Rantoul. I was raised here in Champaign, just down the road. But it's been a part of our family my entire life. So many tours of facilities up at Chanute. I was also on the Civil Air Patrol as a teenager, and so we had encampments and activities on the Chanute Air Force Base. But you mentioned the parade field, and I remember going up there every month to the monthly parade that happened out there on the parade field, and it was quite an event to watch that, you know, the band and the squadrons and the pomp and circumstance and pageantry that went with it. So I have very fond memories of that, and my father is one of the founding members of the museum, and so I volunteered there in the early days and had other things go on in my life where I didn't get to volunteer. And a couple of years ago, I found myself with some time and became a member of the board of directors, and it'll soon be 2 years that I've done that. And I do enjoy being a part of that. We have lots of interesting things that go on there. You know, we do tours. Practically every fifth grader in Champaign has been on a tour there. And I like the educational aspect of the museum. That's my interest.
Wow, it's really, really important. Well, you know, I'd like to thank both of you very, very much for coming on. I mean, for me, again, this is part of my life because I came through here the first time, back right after Vietnam, and because Frank Elliott was here, and then ended up coming here and ended up staying here and being a part of this. But I think for all of this stuff, it's extremely important. We have Chanute Air Force Base, the Chanute Air Museum in Rantoul, Illinois. Again, the website is www.aeromuseum.org. That's AeroMuseum.org. If you want information, you can contact them at area code 217-893-1613. And then at the same time, with all this history, as Jim has just described, they're going to build the Rantoul Veterans Memorial. And again, the website for that is www.rvmrantoul, that's rvmrantoul.org, or contact them at area code 217-714-1352. So ladies and gentlemen, if you were a part of history of doing this, join us and come and visit us. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Dr. Doug.
God bless America.
Amen.